Hello, ACAC Church family. This is Pastor Elizabeth Daigle, and I'm stepping into the conversation this week as we continue our 91-week journey through the Scriptures. Pastor Rock will be back later this summer. Our readings this week are all from the book of Judges. The portion that begins our walk through the Word is likely a familiar story to many of you. It's about an unlikely hero, Gideon. Pastor Soper pointed out that in God's infinite wisdom, He often chooses unlikely leaders. And this is true in the story of Gideon. I'm reminded that God doesn't look through the same lens that we do when it comes to assessing a person's potential, even if that person is ourselves. No, God doesn't judge the circumstances or the outward appearances. But as the Lord said to Samuel as he redirected him away from the logical older brothers to the shepherd boy David in Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And because God knows the beginning from the end, we will see him choosing the ordinary and overlooked to carry his name or execute his will, all to bring glory to himself. Paul pointed this out especially to the Corinthians. It's important to note that the church in Corinth was a mess. It was a disaster. Warren Wiersbe said it was a defiled church, a disgraced church, and even a divided church. It was a church so full of idolatry that they had even allowed the attitudes and some of the revolting behaviors of the world to take root in their church. The Corinthians were in desperate need of the Holy Spirit's purifying fire and a redirect in their thinking so that they would begin to look with spiritual eyes. And it is in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians that he wrote this in verses 25 through 29. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And so it should be of no surprise to us that God not only uses the fragile things, but chooses them, because by elevating them for his service, no one would be tempted to claim that glory for themselves. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul uses this concrete example. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I don't know about you, but I'm well aware that I'm just an ordinary clay pot. And frankly, in addition to all my ordinariness, my pot is again showing some signs of wear and tear. There are cracks that have come from tragedies. There are chips that have come from difficulties and even a few chunks missing because of my own disobedience. But as I consider Gideon, I'm encouraged. His story teaches me that if I'm willing to surrender my own perceived strength and instead allow the Lord to infill and empower me, amazing things can happen. But it is only after I empty myself of my own strivings and self-reliance and truly surrender, then I am ready to report for duty. Let's look quickly at the start of Gideon's story. I find it more than amusing, in fact, almost preposterous, that the angel of the Lord first greeted Gideon, calling him a valiant warrior. Gideon was anything but a valiant warrior. In fact, he was an absolute wimp. He was working in a wine press and trying to thresh grain, and at the same time hoping he could remain undetected by the enemy. We would probably miss the huge irony between where Gideon was working and the title the angel gave him, because we don't have firsthand knowledge of what village life looked like more than 1,000 years before Christ. So let's take a quick look. In the ancient world, grain was beaten in an open field or on the top of a hill so that the wind would help carry away the chaff while the heavier kernels of grain would fall to the ground. But here we're specifically told that Gideon is not on the top of a hill. Instead, he is threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, it's important to know that wine was traditionally not pressed on the top of a hill. Rather, it was pressed on rocks or on wooden planks that would be in a ravine or a natural depression in the ground, so the gravity would help the process of extracting the juice from the grapes and make it easier to collect by funneling it down into that natural depression. But here we have Gideon working in a place that made his work harder and less productive. Why? Well, the text tells us directly. He was hiding from the Midianites. I don't think it's unreasonable to say these two things. Gideon was afraid, and Gideon was desperate. We have this frightened, desperate guy working feverishly when the angel of the Lord appears to him and calls him a valiant warrior. Now, from all appearances and all that we can take from the text, Gideon is anything but a valiant warrior. So why does the angel give him that title? The angel gives him that title because God does not see us as we are now, but as he is making us to be. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He who began a good work in you." The operative word there is he. It is God who made you for his purpose, and he is faithful. And here's the reason why Gideon was destined to become the valiant warrior the angel announced that day, even as he was fearfully threshing wheat in the winepress. Judges 6:12 says, "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" It wasn't because Gideon was strong. It wasn't because Gideon was valiant. It wasn't because Gideon was mighty. It was because the Lord was with him. The Lord was the source of Gideon's strength. And he is the source of our strength too. I was meditating on this portion of scripture this morning, Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 21. This beautiful prayer of Paul for the church at Ephesus. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Paul instructed the Ephesians in the same way the Holy Spirit needs to instruct us, that our transformation is a direct result of his indwelling Spirit. The riches are his, and it is his good pleasure to infill you with his power through his Spirit, but we must be willing to receive. So how do we create an attitude that we might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God? The first step is to be emptied of self and so create space for the Spirit's infilling. I had the privilege this summer of serving for about a week at our district camp in Mahaffey, PA. In the morning, I taught the children's Bible hour, and in the evening, I was free to attend the adult service. To my great delight and honor, I was able to sit under the teaching of the president of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, Dr. John Stumbo. One evening, he shared a story that he found in the writings of A.B. Simpson. It is the story of a willow tree. A man had a willow tree on his property that was a source of great confusion. You see, the tree was large and beautiful, but it was only flourishing on one side. In hopes that the man might even out the tree, he pruned and trimmed to see if he might help it grow more symmetrically. But even with all his best work and waiting a full season, the tree continued to droop and wilt on the one side, while the other side flourished beautifully. The man employed the advice of another gardener, but no one could help him solve the problem with his willow tree. Until one day, the man decided that he needed to take more drastic measures, and he began digging at the root of the tree. He thought that perhaps he might find a rock or something impeding its growth, and so he began to dig a circle around the base of the trunk. What the man found in the ground surrounding the part of the tree that was lush and abundant was a subterranean stream that was watering the roots on the one side of the tree. watering the roots from beneath. The water was the reason for the growth. The man then dug a channel all the way around the tree and redirected the stream so that the water circled the tree and all the roots would be nourished. It wasn't long before the tree grew even taller still, and the once wilted and sickly portion was evened out with the other, and the tree was whole. And so it is with us. As we discipline ourselves and empty ourselves, we allow more room for the Holy Spirit's infilling, that we too might be like those well-watered trees the psalmist talks about, that we too might have room for the Holy Spirit's infilling, that we would be able to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and that we would be filled to the measure of his fullness. That's all I have today. Have a great week serving the Lord.